Okay, this meeting's being recorded. Are we ready?
We are.
Okay,
Or not, we
excellent.
have you.
Thanks so much. Okay, good morning. We are going to call this meeting of the TRPA Legal Committee to order. The date is Wednesday, May 26, 2021. It's approximately 8:34. We are having a virtual
Can you hear
meeting today.
me?
Who's that?
That was Mr. Brian, I think.
Oh,
Yes,
okay.
we can hear you, so just hang
Yes.
tight for a little bit.
The first item on the agenda is a roll call to determine the quorum. Catherine, would you please call the roll?
Ms. Williamson?
Good morning.
Mr. Rice?
Good morning.
Mr. Yates?
Here.
Ms. Novosel? Mr. Bruce?
Yes.
Mr. Chair, we have a quorum.
Great. Now I'll go over the meetings, the rules for the day. To observe and participate in the meeting, go to www.trpa.gov, select May 26, 2021 Governing Board Meeting on the calendar, and follow the link to the Legal Committee webinar on Zoom. Members of the public can find all meeting materials there as well. To participate in this legal committee meeting with your comments, please utilize the hand raising function in the Zoom platform at the appropriate agenda item. With your hand raised, you'll be unmuted by TRPA staff and have 3 minutes to address the legal committee. If you have called in if you have called in to listen to the meeting using your phone, you can dial *9 to raise your hand and be unmuted. To legal committee members, if you wish to speak, please alert me via the chat function if you're online, or speak up if you're calling in. Please make sure you send your chat to panelists and organizers. Committee members may only use the chat function to indicate a desire to speak. This function must not be used to have a sidebar conversation. And finally, everyone remember to mute your mic unless speaking, to cut down on the background noise. The next item is the approval of the agenda. John, are there any changes to the agenda?
We will not be needing the closed session or the action session thereafter, so we can skip those when we get to them.
Excellent. Thank you. So other than until then, we will deem the agenda approved for the record. Appeal, let's see, we're moving to item number two. Agenda item number two, appeal of denial of application for non-littoral existing mooring buoy, 4100 Doe Avenue, Placer County, California, assessor's parcel number APN 085-161-014, TRPA file number buoy 2021-0016. Information on this item can be found on page 343 of your packet. At this point in time, I'm going to turn this over to John Marshall, who's going to give us a staff presentation, and then we'll go from there.
Well, good morning. And I know it's early to dive into the arcana of shore zone permitting, but we have a bit of a doozy for you this morning. We are talking about an appeal from a executive director denial of an application for a buoy permit. Can we go to the next slide, please? Mr. Bryan is the owner of a parcel in, what is that, teal, turquoise, on to the left of this photo. And he is applying as a non-littoral owner for a permit to recognize his buoy where the purple dot is. And what this brings to you is really the probably one of the first times in my memory that the governing board has seen a non-littoral buoy application and the issues surrounding it. Now, this is further complicated by the issue that we're talking about is what the governing board passed in 2018 for the shores line plan. And in particular, what it did for recognition of existing buoys, and how did you prove up those buoys? and with the further gloss of a non-littoral owner. So if we can go to the next slide. So this is lovely section 8433D3. And it talks about how you go about proving up existing buoys if you are a littoral owner, and then if you are a non-littoral owner. If you're a littoral owner, you have two different types of way of establishing a buoy, a right to your have your buoy permitted. And you could either have a permit issued by a federal, state, or appropriate jurisdiction prior to September 1, 2018, or it's been in the lake since before 1972. So those are your two different ways. Now, under section B, small b here, for non-littoral owners, you basically have to do both. It's an and, not an or. And the language is admittedly a little different. The non-littoral owner provides a valid authorization from the applicable federal or state jurisdiction with jurisdiction at Lake Tahoe. So the valid authorization is what we're really talking about here. Did Mr. Bryan, when he applied for recognition of his and permitting of his claimed non-littoral buoy, have valid authorization? And this really focuses in on the Corps, U.S. Army Corps of Engineers, 2009 letter, which is on page 353 of your packet. But first, what I want to talk about, if we could, Catherine, go to slide 15, is what really is the Corps doing? And is it a valid authorization? I'm sorry, Catherine, can you go back one slide first? Thank you. And let me know if it's Tracy and not Catherine. So what are the issues that are involved in a non-littoral situation? Now, as opposed to a littoral situation, it's pretty easy to identify a parcel and the link to the buoy that's offshore from it. So remember, under our system, you basically, littoral parcels get two buoys that are offshore. But if you have a non-littoral buoy offshore from your littoral parcel, it counts against your allotment. So it's really critical that non-littoral buoy owners established that they had the authorization to put their buoy in, so that they got a permit for the buoy, or they got sufficient authorization so it connects the person claiming the buoy, the actual either lot or person, and the buoy itself. Because it's that connection that is really what we're talking about in the valid authorization situation that we need for to establish this as a permittable buoy. Now, and if we go to the slide 15, Catherine, can you skip to there? This is one of Mr. Bryan's slides that you'll see in a second when he proposes or when he discusses. And the question is, what did the Corps do when it issued its letter in 2009? What the Corps does in these, quote, grandfathering letters is essentially says that this buoy existed prior to December 18th, 1968. And therefore, you do not require specific authorization for it to continue, that it essentially was in the lake prior to their permitting structure that came into place, and that no core approvals are actually required. And so what the only thing that the core letter does is it recognizes that this buoy has been in the lake. And if we could go back to our, I think, our fourth slide, Catherine, the one after the picture. Is it this? So in the it doesn't provide authorization in the sense that it really connects the buoy owner and the parcel with this non-littoral buoy sometime in the past. Now, all that it really does is say that it was there in the lake before 1968, which satisfies B small I. It doesn't provide us with any of the extra protections that we need from B small 2I, because it doesn't say that this owner somehow has ownership over that buoy. I could apply for the same thing, you know, from based on my lot in Reno or anyone else. And so it's not the kind of authorization that we're looking for to satisfy too small I. And if we can go to the next slide, please. This is just in your packet. This is the core email that really says that it was just all that's happening here is that it's existed prior to 1968. And so it doesn't need to be put in, doesn't need any further authorization. Let's go to the next slide. This is what actually looks like an Army Corps. This is an actual Army Corps permit. So this is what we would say would satisfy that, because if you go to the next slide, it has associated with it the parcel and the buoy, a map. And it says, this illustrates the difference between a littoral parcel and a non-littoral, but essentially says, here's the linkage that we can have between a non-littoral parcel and a parcel and the authorized buoy that you see off to the left of the pier. So while it's a kind of a crude map, this is a permit from the early 80s. And this is the kind of permit that we would accept as valid authorization to establish a non-littoral buoy or a state lands lease or a permit from state lands. And I think that's our last slide. Next slide, please. Yeah. So that's really the gist of our presentation. If you have any questions, I can answer that. We also have Matt Miller with us, and he's kind of really our boots on the ground and has seen all these applications and has been dealing with them all and can walk you through any of the specifics. But if not, we'll give Mr. Brian 15 minutes to make his presentation, and then we can go to public comment and come back around for discussion. Thank you.
Yes, thank you. Thank you, John. I appreciate it. Mr. Brian, actually what I'd like to do, if possible, John, is just go straight to Mr. Brian, let him do his presentation, and then we can come back and ask Mr. Miller or anybody else questions after we get the full picture here. Go ahead, Mr. Brown.
And just for
purposes of this presentation, it's 8:48 and there's 15 minutes. So I've just got the clock on 8:48. Thanks.
I appreciate that. Can you hear me?
I can. Thank you.
Great. Thank you. I appreciate your time. Mr. Marshall, that was amazing. I appreciate all your background, all the work you've done thus far. I do agree on some points, but we clearly disagree on some others. But just to give you a little bit of background, I put in hundreds and hundreds, maybe thousands of hours on this issue. My family had been, you know, we've owned that house for a long, long time. I'm confident that I'm right, and I believe I can demonstrate that to you today. As Mr. Marshall stated, I do believe it is a doozy, and it's pretty cool that this is the first one. So, again, I appreciate your time, and Here we go. We can dive into it. First slide. Thank you. There's three key components to why we're here today. And the first one is, what is valid? Valid is having legal efficacy or force, well-grounded or justifiable, being at once relevant and meaningful, logically correct, appropriate at the end view. My contention is that when I first tried to permit the buoy back in 2009 with Mr. Miller, we all knew what we were doing. It was the end view was to permit the buoy through TRPA with USAC approval. Second, authorized to endorse, empower, justify, or permit by or as if by some recognized or proper authority to invest, especially with legal power. The Corps unequivocally has authority to authorize structures in Lake Tahoe, and I believe that they have done that. Personal, we'll dive into that in a little bit. We'll talk about it in a little bit, but I just want to point out that the definition of personal is of, relating to, or affecting a particular person, of, relating to, or constituting personal property. Christine, next slide, please. I'd also like to provide some legal background. I have some citations here. One of them, Mr. Marshall touched on earlier, but I have federal, state, and local jurisdictional legislative laws. And the first one is CCR, California Code of Regulations, Article 1, General Provisions, Section 1900, Definitions. The term lease includes a permit, right-of-way, easement, license, compensatory agreement, or other entitlement of use. I argue that my entitlement of use is the Army Corps authorization. We'll dive into the letter in a little bit, but they use the exact word authorized in the letter. Following on, applicable to the state in which we are in, well, some of you are in Nevada, but Chapter 1451, an act to add Chapter 2, commencing with Section 1601, Part 2 of Division 6 of the California Public Recess Code, relating to tide and submerged lands. No amendment, modification, or revocation in whole or in part of any grant of tide or submerged lands heretofore made or that may be hereafter made by the legislature shall impair or affect the rights or obligations of third parties. I hope I'm not boring you with this, but the words are very important, so I would like to read each one. Including lessees, lenders of value, holders of contracts, conferring the right to the use and occupation of or the right to conduct operations upon or within such lands arising from leases, contracts, or other instruments lawfully entered into prior to the effective date. The effective date of that code is September 19th, 1970, which I am prior to. Christine, next slide, please. Here's the one that we touched on before. I'd just like to point out that this is for unauthorized structures. The Army Corps identifies the difference between an authorized and unauthorized structure. The construction, placement, or existence of any structure, including but not limited to roads, trails, signs, non-portable hunting stands or blinds, buoys, docks, or landscape features of any kind under, upon, in, or over the project's lands or waters is prohibited unless a permit, lease, license, or other appropriate written authorization has been issued by the commander. Christine, next slide, please. California Code, or I'm sorry, Army Code 33, Section 330.3, structures of work completed before December 18th, 1968 are authorized. Section 10 of the Rivers and Harbors Act, some categories or activities have been previously authorized by nationwide or regional permits, and no further Corps approvals are required. That was included in Attachment D of the staff report. Next slide, please. And here's the one that we are all here for, obviously. Again, I is not being contended, but two is. I believe that I am non-literal. I provided a valid authorization
through the core. Words are very important here with the definitions. All, as John touched on earlier, all the code is asking for is a valid authorization. That's exactly the word in it. I don't think it's fair to say it's a permit. For the literal one, they ask for a permit. For non-literal, the word is valid authorization. And I believe that is because of the Corps' authority in the lake, where they can grant authority, lease, whatever, another instrument. They have granted me authority and authorized me to be in the lake. Now I'd like to, next slide, please, Christine, if you're driving there, thank you. Now I'd like to address the staff report, the letter in the staff report. Hopefully you've all had the opportunity to read that. First of all, staff contends that I have or have not received authority to place the buoy. I am pre-68. The buoy has been in place in the lake before anyone had authority to say it was legal or not legal. That has changed. TRB, unfortunately, has been in lawsuits about that. But what's important is the effective date of the code that we are under right now. So I am pre-authorization to place. And I'm not sure if that's what staff means. It's pre to place it, or if they're asking me to have authority since 2009, my first application to have placed it. But either way, I'm pre-authority, and I also have a letter authorizing the buoy to be anchored in Lake Tahoe. So, second point, staff states that according to the Corps, the 2009 Corps grandfather letter is not authorization for a specific person, property owner, to place a buoy in Lake Tahoe. See May 18, 2021 email from Corps of Engineers Attachment D. Christine, can you please go to slide 9? My slide 9. It's the email from the Corps last week. Thank you. That's it. I don't know if I need to read this, but nowhere in this email does it say that the buoy is not authorized. It says the exact contrary. Per our conversation, a grandfather determination means that the structures is or are authorized. Gives the code, the section, everything. The second sentence, a grandfather termination does not and cannot make an assignment or transfer of ownership for a grandfathered structure. That, I don't know the context of the conversation between Mr. Miller and the Corps officer, but that I will touch on in a minute, but that is not at all what happened. The Corps did make an assignment of ownership that I will show you in a moment. Slide 7, Christine, please. And finally, our staff contends that the core letter does not provide the necessary association between Mr. Bryan's parcel and the claim buoy. They actually did on two occasions. The first one I will demonstrate right now. Christine, slide 10, please. Here's a snip of the core letter that was also in your packet. The very first paragraph, we are responding to your request for a determination of grandfathered status for one existing buoy located on Lake Tahoe. The project is located at 4100 Doe Avenue, lakeward of Placer Assessor's Parcel Number 085161-014 in Placer County, California. This is very similar to the way TRPA calls out locations and projects. The verbiage is almost identical. Christine, slide 8, please. Staff's final and last contention is that since the letter only confirms a buoy existed prior to that date, and the letter can be issued to any party, as Mr. Marshall touched on earlier, the property that the or property that requested the grandfather termination, regardless of actual ownership, the Corps' grandfather letter simply duplicates the code section rather than provide the additional personal authorization. I don't know how we could possibly say that the buoy in question is not attached to my parcel. I think it smacks of all that we've been through over the past 12 years, myself, the Corps, and TRPA. But aside from that, I have demonstrated that it does. The personal authorization statement that's included in the staff report is something new, but additional to the linkage in the Corps letter, I have an email with a supporting information. Christine, slide 11, please. Thank you. This is an email string from 2009 proving the fact that the buoy was tied to my parcel. Personal tie of personal property. Don't know if you want me to read all of these, but I'm happy to do it. Mr. Brian, this is where we've been playing a little email tag, Ms. Blanchard and I from the Corps. I've been out of the office, so I've been unable to work on this project. Please give me your information again, APN, county, previous owners' names, Lake Mile, if I've already given it to you. Please note that if I do not see a buoy on our 1970 aerial photos, I cannot grandfather the buoy. Next slide, please. Ms. Blanchard, attached you will find not only the information you requested, but you will also find my aerial photographs of my buoy. I obtained these photographs from TRPA, and they are the very ones that they'll be using for their permitting beginning this later this year. These photos show our buoy in place in front of Tahoe Pines HOA Beach and Pier in 1970. Please remember that I need your approval before I can proceed with the permitting. I once again respectfully request your agency grandfather my buoy. The email below, Mr. Brian, in the attached 1970 aerial, you need to indicate which is your pier buoy property. I cannot concur if I do not know which is your property. Christine, next slide, please. Thank you. Ms. Blanchard, sorry, I should have referenced the landmarks in my earlier email. Please see my attachments, which are marked for your use. Should you need the GPS coordinates, I do have them. I look forward to receiving my permit. Next correspondence, I have located the buoy on my aerial and will grandfather the buoy. I need to have the following information before I can do that. Verification, grant deed, tax bill, et cetera, that you are the current owner of the property. Physical address, mailing address for you. Christine, next slide, please. Ms. Blanchard, this is email where I center my grant deed and tax information. Next slide, please, Christine. And she confirms that she got it. I'll try to get it done today, but cannot guarantee it. Also, there's no fee for this request. Thank you. I also have another string where I center the information for the adjacent property who my family bought the house from as well, with their information that being the previous owner, that the buoy was linked to that APN.
Okay, so we're at 15 minutes. We need to wrap this up, okay, Mr. Brian?
Okay. You're asking me to wrap it up or I'm done?
Yes. No, I'm asking you to wrap it up.
Okay. I also have the next slide, please. Thank you. Appreciate that. Next slide here. I have proof that TRPA and staff was aware of the exact location of the buoy. It's on that second snip. I have further supporting evidence that it's my personal property. I have a buoy inspection report with the GPS coordinates on it. Next slide, please, Christine. A receipt from TRPA, an email from TRPA, dear buoy owner. And then next, please, Christine. Thank you. Excel spreadsheet with all the information for the buoy for the past 15 years, a snip of that. I have a police report where someone stole the float in 09. Further proof that it is my buoy. Next, please. Christine, thank you. There's my access to the lake, HOA Pier, of which I'm a member with literal access to the lake. Next, please. And there it is off in the distance past the sailboat. I would argue that given everything that I have shown over the past 12 years now, the only conclusion is that it's legal or existing. The only way that TRPA can say that that buoy should be removed is by delegitimizing every buoy on the lake. I have every right to be there, just as the literal ones, because of the date it was established, what I've given you. If TRPA contends that the buoy is not legal, I believe that that would put you ripe for a takings case. It's just what I think, and I hope I demonstrated that to you today. Mr. Marshall, thank you.
Thank you, Mr. Bryan. I appreciate it. Okay, John, do we have, would you like Matt to say a few words, or would you like to go straight to member questions?
Let's just go straight to member questions, unless Matt, you have something you want to say. Otherwise, I think he's here to respond to questions.
Yep.
I have nothing additional, John.
Okay. Thanks, Matt. So let's open this up to member questions. And Haley, go ahead. You're on mute.
Thank you. Sorry, I know there's a raise hand function and I will figure it out at some
point. No worries. That's perfect. No,
okay, thanks. Good morning, everyone. Thank you so much for this. I'm looking back and I'm just toggling between screens here. I'm just pulling up the code again, 84333D3. So, you know, one, I think we have, right, the clear evidence of the existence of the buoy prior to February 10, 1972. And I'm just wondering for two, provides a valid authorization. Are there examples of other non-littoral buoy situations where there was valid authorization provided? And what were those factual scenarios? I'm just trying to compare how we got little two, how that's been met in the past in maybe a similar circumstance?
It's very difficult to meet small 2i. And that was done on purpose, but I'll let Matt, who's been viewing more buoy applications than anyone ever should have to, and let him give you a little description. Matt?
Yeah, I think little 2i is also a remnant of code that we had in 2009 that was vacated. It was that we had a lot stricter definition of littoral in 2009. There were a lot of parcels that are considered littoral under today's code that were strictly not considered littoral in 2009. Specifically parcels where it doesn't, where they may have had a easement in front of them or public land or something of that sort, or the parcel line boundaries had changed after 1987. The code today does not require that the parcel was littoral in 1987 to be considered littoral today. So that was a major change. So I think that puts some context. There's a lot more parcels that are just directly littoral today under the code. As far as additional evidence, you know, I don't have any at the ready, but as John, you know, provided an example, there are U.S. Army Corps permits, and there are also state lands leases for parcels that, you know, typically state lands, you know, might not have the same definition of littoral as TRPA. And I think that's where little 2i is really supposed to cover. For the most part, is where there might be a discrepancy of that sort. In 2009, Mr. Bryan applied to TRPA with the U.S. ACE letter, and at that time, TRPA had asked, as they had asked all applicants that applied with the grandfathering letters for non-littoral parcels, to provide a permit from state lands. So that was our response in 2009, and that was a pretty typical response at the time.
So I think really in answer to your question, Haley, we don't have and Matt, correct me if I'm wrong, but have we permitted in this most recent round a non-littoral buoy that didn't already have a TRPA permit?
No. We have permitted buoys to parcels that were considered non-littoral in 2009, however, and they're littoral today.
Thank you for that.
Okay. Let's see. Maybe I'll just go through the names. Sue, do you have any questions of either John, Matt, or Kent?
Yeah, I'm just a little confused and concerned about the word authorization, being that I understand that the time when Mr. Bryant was trying to get his permit, that the Corps was saying that just being grandfathered in was their authorization, and yet that's not the case today. So I'm confused on, do we have a definition on what authorized means? If so, is there a list of, you have to have it authorized by a state agency, you know, by a specific agency? I'm just still confused on how someone navigates the ability to understand what true authorization was, either when they had this grandfathered in or in today's meanings here. So I'm still a little confused on how we determine that.
Sue, I will agree with your confusion that the language is not crystal clear as to what is that we're looking for. And so to interpret, you know, a vague word like authorization in this context, or a word with multiple meanings, we've really kind of looked back and tried to figure out what was really happening here and where we're, you know, what we believe that how we should interpret valid authorization is some express tie with the particular parcel. Now, we don't argue with Mr. Bryan's claim that he owns the lot, that he, you know, the non-littoral lot back in the neighborhood, and that he demonstrated that to the Corps. Where we have an issue is that the Corps, the grandfathering letter, all it really does is says that buoy was in the lake before 1968. It doesn't say anything about the connection between the parcel and the buoy at that time. And so while Mr. Bryan, I'm certain, is being truthful that he's owned, you know, the property, or owns the property and owned it in 2009, just accepting that grandfathering letter as proof of his connection to the buoy is something that we don't think was actually, you know, back in 1968, the Corps made no determination about that. It was just that the buoy was there. And so that's why, you know, in terms of the grandfathering letter, it's not, we don't interpret that as a valid authorization for the placement of that buoy. Now, we're adding those words in there for the placement or something else that connects it back to that time period. And so let's be upfront that we are putting a gloss on that term to provide it something, you know, meaningful in addition to what Section I requires. Because otherwise these, you know, grandfathering letters that, you know, quite honestly, I'm not, and Matt can talk to this, that the Corps is even issuing anymore because of all these issues surrounding them, is that they are an quote authorization only in label, not an actual meaning, and that's the distinction we're trying to draw, because you don't need the letter necessarily from the Corps. It's just saying, yes, that buoy was there before 1968, and you don't need to come to us for a permit. So
I my confusion.
Sue, you're frozen, unfortunately.
When we have landing, hear me okay? I think I'm freezing here. Sorry. So I guess my confusion is I'm concerned about them not understanding, you know, back in 1968, when the Corps wrote this, this was their authorization, correct? I mean, yeah. This is how they authorized a buoy?
No, in 1968, they began their permitting program. So that's, they basically, that's the cutoff. So they say you didn't need a Corps permit before 68. So this letter was issued in 2009 saying, basically saying, yes, that buoy has been in the lake since, you know, we can spot it on an aerial, the 19, you know, essentially they looks like they used a 1970 aerial and said it was good enough for, you know, their purposes, which is fine. We're not contesting that. But they, you know, they didn't issue a permit to place the buoy to Mr. Brian or apparently his predecessor in interest. The reason this is so difficult is the reason why both state lands, California and Nevada, really shy away from permitting or leasing non-littoral buoys. And it's this conundrum that we get into of how do we know the, you know, almost the lineage of this buoy going back and associating it with this parcel other than something that makes that express connection. So we don't believe that in 2009, when the Corps issued the letter, that it, you know, all it did was confirm that Mr. Brian owned the property he said he owned. There wasn't any necessarily any connection between that particular property and the buoy that they said, yes, that buoy existed, other than Mr. Brian was the applicant.
John, and so that I understand this, what I'm hearing you say is that if you read small two as Mr. Brian is postulating, then there'd really be no difference between small one and small two. And it would be the same, the obligation to prove both would essentially just revert back to proving one.
Correct. Just collapse into proving one under the, using the core letter.
Yeah. Okay. I understand. Okay. Wes, any questions?
Yes, I do. What evidence would it take to prove that this buoy is tied to his parcel?
I will answer first and then ask Matt to add to that. But fundamentally, it for the core purposes, it looks like a core permit would provide the necessary linkage as opposed to their quote grandfathering letter or a state lands California state lands lease, since he's on the California side. That's what we would take as valid authorization and establishing this connection.
Now, is there a time frame, John, when that would have to occur? Would that have to occur? Could that occur at any time?
Actually, yes. Okay. There's no, if you look up in, let's see here, in 3A small I, the first one is that we only put the date in for littoral permits, not, and it doesn't appear also for non-littoral.
I guess the question I'm asking is, what hoop does Mr. Brian have to jump through for us to say that's your buoy?
He needs to get authorization from state lands, California state lands, or right now it would, you know, he could potentially, but you know, the Corps is not going to issue him a permit because it was pre-68. So really it's state lands. One of the reasons we're rather vague on this valid authorization is that We were not particularly sure what we were going to see with people coming in. And that in the past, there could have been, you know, the kind of more distant past types of authorizations, particularly for non-littoral owners. And so we didn't want to cut off anything that we might want to consider. But, you know, I can tell you, Wes, that there was distinct discussion on what it is that we were trying to accomplish with this too small I, and what hoops we were trying, you know, we were really, you know, really looking to put a fairly high burden on non-littoral owners because of the issues, you know, the kind of the ownership issues that we talked about before that arise when a non-littoral owners, and of course, you know, we're thinking beyond Mr. Brian here, in, you know, in other instances, can come in and claim a buoy, get a core letter, then all of a sudden we have competing claims over ownership of the same buoy. And so that's maybe a not perfect answer for you, but that's what we would be looking for.
Yes, Haley, and then I'm going to jump to Bill because I haven't heard from Bill, but Haley, please.
Yeah, thanks. I just wanted to ask Mr. Brian, or have you had any conversation with State Lands, with California State Lands? Is that, I know you had a lot of other documentation.
Yeah, yes, I have, and staff is aware of that communication with them. Mr. Miller asked me to reach out to them regarding whether or not they had jurisdiction over my buoy. I did that, and I got an email back, which Mr. Miller is in possession of, and a letter in the mail telling me that I have no right to have the buoy because I didn't own the land. And then it gave me about three pages of a dissertation on how California State Lands Commission was formed. But that brings up a very important point. There's a code, I would need to find it, but anyone can apply for a permit with California State Land Commission. Non-literal buoys are not illegal, but the code doesn't ask me to go to California State Lands. All it asks for is a valid authorization from anyone that has authority on the lake. I would have done that long ago. Nowhere in the code does it say that. I went the Army route. I could have provided pictures with date stamps on them. I went the Army route because it was, you know, a federal agency with authority at the lake. Vague in a code is not good. I hope that answers your email. But again, Mr. Miller and the staff are in possession of that email and letter if you'd like to see it.
Thank you very much.
You're welcome. Thank you.
Okay, Bill, I know you're not shown on the screen, but I know you're attending, so
yeah, do you have any questions? For some reason, even though my camera seems to be on, it's not on. So I guess I have some questions about probably staff and Mr. Brian. I'm just looking at the October 7, 2009 letter, which TRPA staff was saying it's just simply a grandfathering letter, which covers the issue of 3BI. And so I guess I'm concerned that Mr. Brian is in a kind of a catch 22 here. I understand we want more valid authorization. So let's look at this letter, and it does say right off the bat that we are responding to your request for a determination of grandfathered status. And so you provided us additional information. We've reviewed that. And this information assumption that the buoy anchor has not been relocated allow us to consider the buoy as a grandfather structure in their second paragraph. So that satisfies number one. And then they say, please note at this time, the Tahoe Regional Planning Agency and California State Land do not grandfather structures such as buoys in the Lake Tahoe Basin before your structures can be fully authorized. So they had the concept of fully authorized, meaning you must need something additional, which is our point in the Tula law. You must obtain all required federal, state, and local approvals, leases, or permits. So, Mr. Bryant, I guess what I'm struggling with is you haven't shown us other required federal, state, and local approvals, leases, or permits. But I also understand that because this buoy's been there prior to them issuing any permits, you may not have any. So you have on that one document you showed all of the things that demonstrate your ownership, I guess, of this existing buoy, which has been out there for I don't know how many years. I'm just struggling with what he must show us to satisfy number two. I mean, it's not like this is a new buoy permit. This is a buoy that's been out there for some time. Is that not correct, Matt or John?
That's correct. I mean, we have, you know, it's difficult, Bill, because, you know, in our 20, and Matt can speak to this a little bit more, we don't have any evidence that it's been there in the last 10 years. And, you know, that's, you know, there could be multiple reasons for that. It wasn't out there when we did the actual physical survey in 2017. You know, it might not have been linked, you know, to a float when the aerials were flown. But just looking at the objective record, you know, we have some issues, but, you know, that really goes to why it's important to have this permitting or other really strong tie between the parcel and the buoy, particularly for non-littorals.
Okay, but let's look at the second paragraph, John. Is that in the Army Corps letter, they said they have determined that the property appears to have one buoy in place since 1968. And part of our argument as the agency here is that there's nothing that really connects this buoy to your property, Mr. Bryant, but this letter really does. It says that the property appears to have had one buoy in place since 1968. And since that time, you didn't have to get a permit then. And so as you said, we're trying to find what were all the different ways people could possibly demonstrate to us a valid authorization. So here we have a gentleman who feels very strongly he has a property right here. He has a buoy out here. It's been identified in this letter of 2009 being attached to his property. And he didn't need a permit prior to 1968 for this buoy or whoever had that buoy out there. He's provided us all this information. And, you know, I just struggle with, he has a fair amount of rather objective evidence of an ownership interest in this buoy. And what we're hanging it up on is what's not in our regulation, which is you should have given us a Corps permit or a state lands permit or something from us or something from Placer County, but he can't do any of that because you never had to have one. That's my problem, John, is that we are reading stuff into our own regulation. And we put the language valid authorization because we weren't exactly sure what that might be. And yet here is someone who's trying his best to demonstrate a significant interest in this buoy.
I hear you, Bill. I mean, I think you read that letter and just on the surface of it, it seems like it should suffice. You know, it says.
I mean, I appreciate that. I'm not saying on the surface of it. I mean, it just really it captures number one, none of us are disagreeing that he hasn't satisfied number one, just simply by the fact they said it is grandfathered, it existed prior to 1968. But it goes on and attaches that to the property. Mr. Bryan has showed us the email chain and all the other stuff that goes forward, even currently on the situation. So I don't know at what point do we as an agency say, wow, this unusual situation with a history and all the information that he provides us really satisfies our issue of valid authorization, making this letter and everything else he's provided more than just simply a grandfathering acknowledgement. Yeah, there's a buoy out there. Maybe it's different if this letter just simply said, yeah, there's a buoy out there in the lake. So what? You know?
Yeah, I guess that's what we would, you know, in some senses, that's all that they, at least when we talked to them about the legal import of their letters like this, when we talked to the Corps, that's what they say, that the only thing their letter is really looking at. They confirm that the person is actually at the address that they say they are, and they confirm whether or not the buoy has been in the lake since 68. So, you know, I mean, quite honestly, you know, if you guys feel that this is appropriate in terms of meeting the intent of, and quite honestly, the facial language of 3B, too small I, you know, if we feel it's important to establish a stronger connection in that regulatory language, then we can go back and make that clear in the language, and we can have a good policy debate on it. It's just from, I think, and Matt can speak to this a little bit, it's just from our experience with the Corps and understanding what it is that they mean by these particular letters, kind of looking behind, you know, behind the, what's happening behind the letter. But you know, yeah. Mr. Bryan, and let me just say one more thing. Sorry, Mark.
Well, okay.
Mr. Bryan presents a difficult case, you know, assuming that he's here in good faith and his property has had control of that buoy for decades, whether, you know, it's been, you know, prior to 68, he doesn't really have a way, unless he's gotten a permit from somebody during that time period, to meet the hoop that Wes was asking about.
John, we don't say he needed a permit. We just say valid authorization.
Yeah.
We're a bit vague ourselves.
Yep.
What I'm concerned about, and maybe Matt and you can discuss, is that at the same time, I don't want to open up a bunch of authorizations out there of illegal buoys. So someone to simply make the argument to have just Army Corps of Engineers determine that it existed out there prior to 68 and write a letter here that concerns me, because they've said it's determined that the property appears to have one buoy in place in 68. So they tie it to the property. Their letter should be clearer that all this shows is that there's a buoy out there. You know, 1968, we can see the buoy. We can't see anything else because there's no other paper trail that suggests to us that this buoy is attached to anything beyond maybe the littoral owners along that shoreline. So that's, you know, that's the problem I've got.
Okay, we've got to keep moving here. So I appreciate that, Bill. I understand you're struggling. I see the letter as not providing anything that supports that it's related to the property. It just says it. And that's because it's coming from a person who is making application from a specific piece of property. What else would they say? So I don't see that as moving me. In the ordinance, a construction of or an interpretive statutory rule is that you don't have two clauses that mean the same thing. They can't both mean the same thing. And if you're just proving one with the letter, I don't see how that is supposed to also cover two, which obviously had a different meaning or interpretation. I agree that authorization, valid authorization, is not the best terminology. I think the word valid is different than just the word authorization. I think authorization means that this thing happened before 1970, and that covers number one. But I think valid authorization requires something in addition. And I can't imagine that we would allow for a non-littoral parcel to get the rights to a buoy that they aren't able to prove that they have ownership over. It leaves too much for the imagination. I'm not sure that in this case there is a right answer, a yes or a no answer. I'm thinking that maybe the focus needs to be more about proving that this is in fact their buoy and that they have been using it and that they, you know, since the time that it's been out there, and that there has to be some sort of evidentiary understanding so that we can protect ourselves with respect to non-littoral claims that I think could become serious and significant. And I don't want that to happen. So it's tough. I get it. I think we have to go to public comment.
Well, if I could respond to that, Mark.
Yeah.
Because I agree with you. I mean, I think that's the issue. And so maybe you and I may have a little difference. Because of the term valid authorization, he has shown, I mean, from the slides that he put up of his involvement with this buoy. So it isn't a situation where someone's just kind of making it up, yeah. At least from the standpoint of that. And that's what concerns me about making the decision today, based on what we're all kind of wrestling with at this point. But yeah. Anyway, I hear you. I'm concerned about the ramifications.
I agree with
your statutory interpretation or regulatory interpretation. We wouldn't have had the need for two if we would have been satisfied with one. But at the same time, he is in a bit of catch 22 because in 68 he didn't need to have anything more than the mere grandfathering.
Yeah, and I'm concerned that just because someone's used from time to time a buoy, that it in fact is theirs. That doesn't meet my bar. Okay. You know, if there's just a little evidence out there that they've been using it from time to time, that doesn't do it for me, but it might do it for other people. So let's go to public comment. And then when we get back from public comment, anybody can make further, you know, comments, discussions, et cetera, but let's get public comment out of the way. Okay. All right. We will now go to public comment on this item. If any member of the public wishes to address the legal committee on this agenda item, please raise your hand now in Zoom to be unmuted by TRPA staff. Catherine, do we have?
Yes, we have a few hands raised so far. Okay. Jan Briscoe, you are unmuted on my end. If you unmute yourself, you can address the committee.
Thank you very much. Am I unmuted now?
Yep.
Yes.
Okay. I'm Jan Briscoe. I'm the Tahoe Lakefront Owners Association Executive Director, and I appreciate the opportunity today. This is exactly why we had spent 3 years trying to discuss this very issue. And I'm very disappointed that the interpretation is now that these core letters are being invalidated by staff. And it's disingenuous to the process I spent the better part of 30 years really trying to get the right thing done here. And the reason I'm saying that is that whether you're a lakefront owner or a non-lakefront owner, you only have one avenue, and that is this core letter. Any buoy that existed prior to 1968, it's very much like a verification that TRPA does for your coverage or for your house, your residential units. You only have the process. You don't go in and get a permit for something that's already there. There's no avenue for that. And in fact, he can't go and get a state lands lease because TRPA has put that date. You had to have had that before 2018. So in 2009 and 2010, TRPA accepted the core letter. This was a valid authorization for many buoys. And while I don't think this is going to become the norm, and I understand the trepidation, we did set a high bar, but never, not once during the entire time I was on that committee, did they say, and I was assuming, and we talked about it many times, we assumed that we would use the same evidence that we used back in 09 and 10. And this is exactly the kind of thing we had been using and should be able to continue to use. And whether you're lakefront or non-lakefront, we don't know Mr. Bryan. We haven't been in touch with him or have been asked to speak, but I feel very passionately about this, that if those core letters were acceptable at one time, they should continue to be. And the, you know, we can go back to our notes from our shoreline plan, but what's happening here is that the very concept of what you can provide, this is it. That you can't get any better than this. And while I understand we have to prove it's there, plus we had to have this this authorization from a federal agency, this is all we can get. And we have that feeling that TRPA is trying to find ways to not approve some of these structures. And I don't know why, but it was honored before. It should continue to be honored in that same vein. And I really think you should look at it like any other verification process. This is really important. It is a key issue for our Lakefront Owners Association, and it runs the risk of just invalidating the entire core letter process, which we've used up until this point. We used it back in the 90s for buoy fields, and we're using it today for piers. Thank you.
Thank you, Jan. Appreciate it. Catherine, is there anybody else with hands raised?
Yes, Mr. Chair. Thank you. Gary Midkiff, you have your hand raised. You're unmuted on my end. You unmute yourself. You can address the committee.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman and members of committee. I like Jan, I've been doing permitting on buoys and piers and shore zone structures for over 30 years. We have used the core letters, as Jan mentions, for this purpose, and there is no other option for owners that have buoys that were in the lake prior to 68. So I understand your concerns, but you really need to be consistent because you've used those core letters forever. And now not using, that creates a problem for people that have relied on this. And if we had known in 09 and again in 18 that this interpretation was going to be applied, we would have attempted at least to go get some further authorization. But we expected the core letters to be accepted. So now we're in a catch-22. So I urge you to be more realistic about how you apply the language of the code. Thank you.
Thank you. Okay, Catherine, any other hands up?
Mr. Chair, there are no other hands raised to make a public comment.
Okay, great. I'd like to bring this back. I do think clearly there's two public comments with people who deal with this issue on a regular basis. And there's some concern with respect to how we're going to interpret this. John, let me ask you this question. Maybe after I ask this question, people can just ask you their own independent questions or follow through on what I'm about to ask. But clearly, we need to address this this language. The governing board's going to do it this afternoon. But does it make sense to address this issue independently of this hearing so that we can get a better feel for the governing board's desire going forward on all cases, not just on this case, and so that we can have a better feeling for where we stand on this? Because I am concerned that there are going to be people that hold this letter that are out there that are going to come forward potentially and have the same potential issue. Do you see that potential? And two, do you think that it's worth dealing with on a global perspective as opposed to just this matter and then cover this issue once we've dealt with it globally? Or do you think that that's pushing this thing off too far?
Well, I think that's a great idea. I worry about the speed with which we do things in the shore zone world is never fast. So I guess what I would like to do is first give you some assurance that, you know, contrary to Jan's statements, you know, I was also involved in that effort, and without going into the gory details, I disagree with a lot of what she said, and the same thing with Gary. And I'd just like to have Matt just respond just very quickly to give you some sense of, really what we put the burden on and we put kind of the same burden in a way on the littoral owners, is that you had to do something. You either, to have a buoy in the lake, you needed after 1968 and after 1972 for TRPA, you needed a permit. Right. There was no grandfathering. So you needed to come in and get it, pay your state lands lease and get a TRPA permit. And so that was placed on it. I agree that this statutory language, or the regulatory language, doesn't expressly say that. And so we need to go back and work on that. But Matt, will you quickly just say how it is that we've in the past and currently treat the core letters, the grandfathering letters?
Yeah, I can quickly do that. So, and I can't speak for every single of the thousands of permits we've issued, but generally the Army Corps permits grandfathering letters have been used as evidence of pre-72 existence of any structure. So for a littoral parcel, if you bring TRPA a grandfathering letter for Army Corps, that satisfies for us that structure existed prior to 1972. That's my understanding of how it was used in 2009 in all the cases that I've reviewed from those files in 2009. And that's how we've used it for littoral parcels today. And I would just like to call attention for Bill, the email from Army Corps, from Jennifer, that's in the packet, that her response to me in that email was vetted by her superiors and their legal staff. And that's why we didn't get it till May 18th. She states in there, a grandfathering determination does not and cannot make any assignment or transfer of ownership for a grandfathered structure. It simply represents the Corps' determination that the activity was commenced or completed prior to December 18th, 1968. It doesn't require further permitting from the Corps. So, yeah, that's all I have.
Okay. I guess, John, my question is this. I mean, and it goes back to what Bill was saying, and I think what Haley and Sue and Wes have been hinting at, and that is, I don't feel comfortable that two has been satisfied, but I don't know that we've focused on proof and the evidence that this gentleman and his family and this lot has been the owner since, you know, the late 60s. And if I could feel more comfortable with the evidence that can be established, then I would feel better about this, because the next person who shows up with a letter would also have to establish that they have that they have had this right, and they demonstrated that they have this right for the period of time. I mean, yeah, periodic use doesn't do it for me, but
you do have an option of granting the appeal to the extent and sending it back to staff for that determination, which seems like it could be met in this case. And then TRPA can either require that kind of evidence moving forward under too small I, and at the same time move forward, you know, with an effort to clarify and bring to the board kind of as a straight up policy question, what do you want to see for non-littoral buoy applicants? But that would provide Mr. Brian with an avenue forward, but at the same time, basically saying we need to settle this kind of on the policy question.
Mr. Marshall, can I say something?
That's the chair will recognize you if he wants to.
Yeah,
but
yes, please. Go ahead.
Just a couple things. Tahoe Pines has been there since 1911. It's the first subdivision in Tahoe, for those of you that aren't aware of that. Secondly, we're moving the post. What applies is the current code. You guys are going, the current code says pre-72 and authorized, you know, legally authorized that I would get a permit. You're going back to 1968 and 09 when I've already met that. I have a valid authorization to meet the current code. And now you're talking about modifying the code. I link the property. I link just one more thing, then I'll let you speak. But I link the property through my taxes and my deed. I don't know if you missed that, but I presented that to the core. The property couldn't be, there's nothing more personal, to use the exact word that you're now adding and moving the post to, than your taxes. The core linked the property to the buoy in 09, which isn't even asked in this iteration of the code. And it's 68, which means it's existing.
Yeah, I understand that. Okay, so getting back to the committee, what is the committee feeling here? I mean, we have a couple minutes to talk about this. If everyone could just kind of briefly. Well,
Mark, in the interest of time, I like John's proposal, and I would make the motion to grant the appeal, and then we'll just see how it is with the rest of my colleagues. And if we do that, then that's be the recommendation from our legal committee to the full board. And then if the appeal is granted, then we'll get the evidence that maybe you and I and others need to feel like there's now kind of valid authorization here for this particular buoy. And then we might move on to trying to wrestle with what we really meant by valid authorization when we approved the shore zone regs back in 2018.
Yeah, I agree. I agree with that. Does anybody else have comments on that?
Mr. Chairman, I concur. I think that in all fairness, we need to give this gentleman a way forward. And I think that by doing it, as Bill suggested, this will give that route.
And I'll just agree also saying that I think if we look purely at this case, I don't think it's fair to go beyond where we're going right now. And obviously the ordinance in my mind is not clear, and the wording needs to be clarified in order to move forward with other grants. But at this point in time for this case, I don't think it's fair to the permittee to do anything other than grant the permit.
Well, that's not what's being suggested by John, correct? John, we're talking about an evidentiary hearing, correct? Granting this and then coming back and having an evidentiary hearing on facts that support ownership.
Yes, but first I would say that, you know, if staff finds that there is that connection, that they can then issue that permit, so you wouldn't have to have that evidentiary hearing.
Okay.
All right. Thank you for the clarification.
Yep. Haley, anything?
Thank you. I really appreciate the suggestion. That's exactly, I think that's a really good path forward. Mark and Bill, your points were both well taken. So to me, that's a good path forward on this particular case and then also moving forward.
Great. All right. So we have a motion. Do we have, John, we need to take roll on this or not, or just verbal. Is that correct?
No, we need a roll call.
Okay. Roll call on Bill's motion.
Ms. Williamson?
Yes.
Mr. Rice?
Yes.
Mr. Yates?
Yes.
Ms. Novosel?
Yes.
And Mr. Bruce?
Yes. Thank you very much. Okay. Appreciate that. And thank you, Mr. Bryan, for being here and presenting your matter.
Yeah. Thank you, staff. That was great. Thank you very much.
Yes. Yes. Item number three, recommend approval of resolution of enforcement action. Action Water Sports and Hyatt Regency Lake Tahoe Hotel, unauthorized placement of buoys in Lake Tahoe. 998 Lakeshore Boulevard, Incline Village, Nevada, assessor parcel number APN 127-280-02. Information on this matter can be found on page 73 of your packet. John, we'd like to hear from you and Steve first, and then we'll get to Action Water Sports. Thank you. So
Steve will give the quick presentation.
Thank you.
Okay. All right. Steve Sweet, co-compliance program manager for TRPA. This violation involves unauthorized placement of additional mooring buoys. The violation occurred just east of the Hyatt Buoy Field, which is located at 998 Lakeshore Boulevard in Incline Village. Can you go to the next slide, please? So you can see here, the yellow square is the Hyatt Buoy Field. The area we'll be discussing to the east of is the area in the red circle in the photo. On August 21st, 2020, TRPA staff inspected a complaint of unauthorized moorings along the shoreline near the Hyatt property. During that inspection, staff found that 10 additional moorings in front of the neighboring properties to the east of the Hyatt property had been placed without any authorization. So all 10 of these additional moorings that we identified had a similar anchoring devices that are used by Action Water Sports, and some of the watercraft attached were identified as being owned, operated, or managed by Action Water Sports as part of the Hyatt Watercraft concession. Can you go to the next slide, please? Here's just a photo of just one of the boats we identified through the many days of inspections. You can see the buoy on the left side of the photo, the watercraft in the photo. You can see it has an LE identification, which is typically a rental boat. So some of the other boats, I didn't include any other pictures. I just wanted to give you an example, but some of the other boats that we identified were being used as rental boats from Action Water Sports, had other identification on them. In August 26th, after identifying all this, 2020, TRPA staff issued a cease and desist to Action Water Sports requiring the removal of all unauthorized moorings associated with or occupied by Action Water Sports. By September 14th, 20 days later, only three of the 10 buoys had been removed. TRPA then issued a second cease and desist to both the Hyatt and Action Water Sports, requiring the concession operation remain only on the Hyatt property and within the Hyatt buoy field, and that all unauthorized moorings were removed immediately. On September 22nd, 2020, the Action Water Sports confirmed that all remaining unauthorized moorings had been removed. In following discussions with Action Water Sports, with Gary Scott of Action Water Sports, TRPA staff found that Action Water Sports had placed the unauthorized moorings outside the Hyatt mooring field and were rotating watercraft from Hyatt concession along with other Action Water Sports Hyatt and Hyatt mooring rentals for most of the season. The use of moorings and the addition of moorings placed in front of neighboring properties is not allowed by the Hyatt or Action Water Sports for their commercial operation and occurred in violation of three of the following code sections. Can you go to the next slide? TRPA code section 82, which deals with exempt activities. This was not an exempt activity. TRPA code section 84.10, which only allows watercrafts to be anchored for 72 hours and then they have to go to a legal mooring. And then TRPA code section 84.10, which requires all concessions moor on legally permitted structures. Mr. Scott had made these decisions with clear knowledge of TRPA rules and regulations and persisted in this unauthorized activity for an additional 3 weeks after receiving the first cease and desist notice. And prior to these unauthorized activities, TRPA has settled a violation in 2017 where Action Water Sports paid $30,000 for placing 13 unauthorized moorings within the Hyatt buoy field. Action Water Sports continues to dispute the alleged violations, but in the interest of reaching a resolution, has agreed to a settlement. Staff is recommending, can you go to the next slide, please? Staff is recommending that the governing board approve a proposed settlement where Action Water Sports pays a penalty of $90,000 to TRPA and implements a number of education and safety processes during the summer watercraft rental operations. Some of those include better education of TRPA rules, enhanced GPS on each rental boat to identify where the wake zone is, and we're going to hold a safety and education and safety clinic at the Hyatt concession this year. Then both Action Water Sports and the Hyatt will obtain a permit for the Hyatt Watercraft concession by June 30th, 2021. The permit will be issued to both the Hyatt and Action Water Sports. I wanted to add that the Hyatt has, you know, explained through this process that they had no knowledge of the additional buoys being placed outside the Hyatt buoy field. However, TRPA feels that the property owner does benefit from this expanded use and is ultimately responsible for all accessory uses on the property. Hyatt has been cooperative throughout these discussions and has agreed to be the primary permittee for the concession in the future. As of the date of this, as of today, there no activity has commenced for the summer season. Hyatt has not allowed Action Water Sports to start until this violation is resolved. TRPA has now issued a permit for the Hyatt for 48 buoys and will continue to work with the Hyatt and Action Water Sports on the concession permit over this next month. That's all I have.
Great. Thank you, Steve. John, may I please make a disclosure here?
Yes.
Okay. So I have represented Hyatt Corporation worldwide for a significant period during my legal career. I have had friendship relationships with general managers of Hyatts in various locations. I have been a longtime Hyatt card holder World of Hyatt member, and Reese, most recently Globalist, which provides economic benefit to you when it's like points, getting points with like an airlines company and that type of thing. This does not in any way impact my independent or impartial consideration or thought with respect to this matter. I haven't represented the Hyatt for 10 years, and I'm essentially just a cardholder benefactor of a card that other people can hold with respect to Hyatt-related credit card matters. So I'm feel comfortable moving forward. John, do you have any questions or issues with that?
No.
Okay. Okay. Let's see. Do we have the Hyatt representative here, or I mean, Action Water Sports representative here?
If you would raise your hand, if someone wants to speak, we can elevate you.
Do they need to speak? I mean, this is a settlement, correct?
They don't have to.
Okay. Great.
Okay. We have Joseph Brogan has his hand raised. Go ahead. You're unmuted on my end, Joseph.
Thank you. This is Mr. Brogan representing Hyatt Corporation. And I was simply responding that to the immediate question that I am listening. However, I have no particular questions for the committee, but would be available to the extent that there are questions of Hyatt. And I believe there's a representative from Action Water Sports, maybe Mr. Midkiff, that's also in attendance. Thank you.
Excellent. Thank you so much. And if there's if someone from Action Water Sports would like to speak before I take it to the committee for questions regarding this settlement proposal, that would be great. If not, yeah, go ahead.
Mr. Chair, we have Gary Midkiff. Gary, go ahead.
Thank you. I only have one item I'd like to raise. The requirement that Action Water Sports has to get a permit from TRPA by June 30. We applied for the concession permit 2 years ago, and we were waiting patiently for that permit to be issued. They said, well, we wanted to deal with the Bowie Field first, and they issued that permit a couple of months ago. But I'm concerned about 30 days because it's during the peak of the TRPA permit system, but it's also a peak of the summer season for Hyatt and Axon Water Sports. It would be more realistic, I think, because as presented in the document, if we do everything we can, but TRPA doesn't issue the permit, Action Water Sports and Hyatt Pier and Bowie Field are out of business until TRPA issues the permit. Would respectfully request at least 60 days. It would be more realistic, really, to do it after the season is over, but I would appreciate your consideration for Action and Water Sports and Hyatt.
John, are we able to get this thing done within 30 days?
Yes, we've already provided them with the draft permit, and they have already signed a settlement agreement with the 30 days in it. So, you know, we've already negotiated this, and we are not willing to extend that date.
So any questions or comments from the committee members? I don't see any. I don't hear any. I think at this point in time, let's go to public comment. We'll now go to public comment on this item. If any member of the public wishes to address the legal committee on this agenda item, please raise your hand now in Zoom, either by clicking the hand raise button or your screen, or dialing *9 on your phone to be unmuted by TRPA staff. And then Catherine, I'll wait to hear from you as to whether there's any hands.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. There are no hands raised to make a comment on this item.
Okay, then we'll deem public comment period closed. Does any committee member have any questions or comments regarding the settlement agreement?
Mr. Chairman, I am happy to make the motion to approve the settlement agreement as shown in Attachment A, the recommendation to the governing board.
Great.
If I could just quickly ask Bill if you'd mind modify that motion to reference the errata that out instead of Attachment A.
Yeah, a motion to recommend to the governing board to approve the settlement agreement as shown in Attachment A, incorporating the errata that was sent out. When was that? Yesterday, John?
Correct.
All right, thank you.
Great. Thank you, Bill. Let's take the roll, Catherine.
Ms. Williamson?
Yes.
Mr. Rice?
Yes.
Mr. Yates?
Yes.
Ms. Novosel?
Yes.
Mr. Bruce?
Yes.
Mr. Chair, that motion passes.
Great. Thank you. Okay, so we are ready to, I guess, item 4 and 5, we don't have a closed section. Committee member comments. Item number 6, are there any committee member comments? Hearing none, seeing none. Public interest comments, item number 7. We are now in our final item of the morning meeting. If any member of the public wishes to address the legal committee, please raise your hand now in the Zoom app or dial *9 if you've called in. And I will pass it again to Catherine to let us know if there's any public comment hands raised.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. There are no hands raised to make a comment on this item.
Great, and we will deem public comment closed. We'll move to agenda item number 8. Is there a motion to adjourn?
I move the motion to adjourn.
Okay, all in favor, say aye.
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 Any opposed? Hearing none, we are adjourned. Thank you so much.
What time is the governing board?
Thank you. Done? Thanks, Mark.
Thank you. John, I think we're late on the governing board, aren't we? Or are we?
We are.
Okay. So everyone's waiting for us. So if we could just jump into the governing board. I think if everybody just jumps onto that link, we'll just move forward with the governing board. Okay.
Hey, I'm a bit slow jumping to those links, unfortunately.
Yeah, no worries. We got your back here. Thanks. Thank you, John and staff. Thank you, everybody. Really appreciate it.